chapter 1. We're still waiting to see the reason why. Actually, where is Brother Jason? Are you ushering right now? Where are you at, Brother Oler? He's ushering, isn't he? Oh, well, I was going to make fun of you, brother, but now you're gone. You're outside talking with somebody walking in the parking lot right now, probably. All right, Colossians chapter 1. I'm really going to focus just on verses 9, 10, and 11 for the message, but I am going to read a little bit of earlier than that here. Verse 3, Paul says about this church when he's opening the letter about, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, it is in all, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learn, Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit." Now pay attention to these next three verses right now. "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That," so here comes the result of that, "that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love You. I thank You for Your Word. And Lord, I ask for Your help tonight. Please, Lord, help me to be a help to the church, help in the spiritual walk of those that are here. So control what I say and how I say it. And Lord, may You use it to change us and to draw us closer to You. Lord, if there's things in our life right now that are truly hindering our walk, Lord, many times as we'll even, I'll even talk about here in a minute under Your direction, there's so many times that our walk is off and we don't even know it. So Lord, please, I pray that You would work and just use this in my life and all those who are hearing. And use it to be a help. Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know Christ as Savior, I certainly do pray for their salvation even this evening. Again, Lord, I love You, and I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. I am thinking of soon actually going through the book of Colossians, of covering this book much more thorough. And so we'll see. I haven't really settled on that. It's one of those Roman epistles that Paul writes. And it's really important. But they were a church that was having a lot of trouble with a doctrine called Gnosticism. I've taught on that a lot. It was the very beginning of it really coming in. Very early stages, really not formed yet like it would be in the second century. But a lot of the different false teachings were beginning to come in. So it was really more of, at this time, a mixing yet of Greek idolatrous teachings to a mixing of the influence of the Judaizers mixed with the forming of this Gnosticism that was taking place. And this church was really beginning to experience that. Your first two chapters are very doctrinal in nature. And they focus really on the preeminence of Christ. And then the last two chapters cover what's the result since Christ is preeminent. How should it really affect our life? Just an incredible epistle. Really good. I love how Paul gives credit to this church in the introduction. The reason why I read it, how their faith was known. And really, others should notice our faith. If you think about this, within your own family, start there. And then outside of your family, if you're working, look at your work area. How well are you actually known for your faith? Not just that you go to church. All right, there's a lot of people that just go to church. I knew a lot of them when I was in the work in the secular field. There's a lot of people that go to church. That's a good testimony. I like that. They should know you go to church. I'm not discounting that. But what I'm saying is, to be effective, it has to be much more than that. Much more than that. and where your faith is recognized. All right? And remember, I've talked about that a few weeks ago, that usually requires a difficult situation for your faith to be recognized, where you're put in a situation where you have to honor God. And so I appreciate that about this church. Their love was known. What a combination to be known for, their faith and their love. And where others should see that as well, a genuine love and how that looks. And again, we live in a world, talked about that a little bit at the marriage retreat, where we don't even understand what the word love means. We very much have a worldly definition of love right now, which is far from what it actually is. But this was a church that was known for their love. And that should be part of it. As we know, we're commanded to speak the truth in love. And their hope, of course. And we do have a great hope. If anybody should see a difference in our life, apart from us, in this horrible world right now, we are the ones that should be walking about with an incredible hope. And so, anyhow, I appreciate about this church. So that was just, I just wanted to recognize that about them in those first several verses. And if I do end up covering this epistle more thoroughly, we'll dive into that a little bit more. So now, coming down to these verses 9, 10, and 11. You know, many times when there's relationships, whether that's husband or wife or mom and dad or coworkers or even employer-employee, many times a relationship will break down when there isn't clear communication. When there isn't some type of expectation where there, for instance, let's go to the employee-employer relationship. If the employee is not aware of the expectations that the employer has, there's going to be trouble. All right. In other words, to put it in line with our text, with where I'm going with this, the employee had better understand the will of his employer. All right. That's going to be important. And so, obviously, in times there's many times in life where we have breakdowns in relationships because of just that. Well, the same is obviously true with our relationship with God. Many times we are in no way pleasing unto God, even though we can absolutely believe that we are. Let's flip over and look at this. I wasn't going to. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Here's an example of somebody who thought, man, God is so pleased with me. And he was wrong. He was really wrong. Because his actions contradicted God's word. Even though, to put it in today's terminology, his heart for God was in the right place. Now, it wasn't, because he was disobedient to it, but I'm telling you, that's how he was looking at it here in this text. And that's how often we look at it. All right? That was a big little boom. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm not going to read all this for time's sake. I'm dealing with King Saul. King Saul was instructed to get to the Amalekites and just completely annihilate them. They head into battle. He does not do it. He's coming back, and Samuel was the one who gave him the instruction from the Lord how to handle the battle. Saul chose to disobey it. And notice here, I want to find this verse. I don't have it written down. I wasn't planning on going to it. Let's see. Oh, yeah, verse 13. Look at verse 13 of this, of chapter 15. And Samuel came to Saul. Saul's coming back from the battle. And Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, then what meaneth this bleating of the sheep I hear in mine ears? Why do I see all these animals? What's going on? You're telling me you obey God, but I'm hearing something telling me that's contradictory to how God directed you. Now look at Saul's response. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep. The best. Listen, Samuel, you're going to appreciate this. I told them, you keep the best. You keep the best of the sheep, of the oxen, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. The rest we have utterly destroyed. So here he is. He was given his instruction, but you know what? He's going to help God out. He's going to help God out. We're going to save the best. Understand, Saul thinks that he's about to get praise from Samuel. He thinks, man, this is going to be so good. Listen, our problem is, and I don't want to be in that position when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And by the way, Matthew 7 talks about that with multitudes who are lost standing before him, just completely stunned. Wait, what's happening? Saul's in this position right now. Saul thinks that, you know, he is from his perspective, from his heart, all right, he thinks he's doing something great for God right now. He's getting ready to find out. No. To spare, let's look at verse 22 when Samuel sums it up. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." And look what he compared his sin to. Interesting, isn't it? "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." He did not think he was going to be hearing those words. He didn't see that. Again, what he did was he disregarded the clear instruction because he thought he knew better. That's a dangerous place to be in our Christian life. How often do we end up, and we don't find out till we're in a situation similar to Saul later on, that the direction we took that we thought was right, yet it was in complete disregard of at least, listen, a portion of God's word. So, what we need to understand is when we're following the Lord, we need to make sure that we're not running in vain. That we are actually making our life about Him, not about us, not about sacrifice, not about, well, I'll get into that as it gets into the text. So let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. And now dealing with effects here of the will of God. All right? Verse 9, the truth that are in these verses right here, I think is just tremendous. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Let me just stop there before I go on to the next verse. Just think of what that's saying right there. Look what he's driving at. He's literally telling them, here will be the results of you, as he states here, of with this prayer, this is what needed to accomplish in their life. Notice how he words it. "That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will," speaking of God, "in all wisdom," so it's knowledge of His will, "with wisdom and understanding." All three. All right. So there's knowledge of what God wants you to do. You have knowledge of His will, but not that knowledge alone. Knowledge with wisdom and understanding. And then he goes on to, this is what that will produce. When it's clear communication between you and God, that comes with the submissiveness of saying, "God, this isn't my life. This is yours." A yieldedness, a Proverbs 3:5 approach to the Creator. And he says, when you have the knowledge of the will with a measure of wisdom and understanding, he says, this is going to be the result of that. Here's what happens. Look at the punctuation as 9 finished, going into 10 with how it's worded, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." So one of my goals had better be a primary goal. Number one goal always is to glorify God. That's number one above all else. That's why we were created. For the glory of God, to glorify Him, that's what life is about. Now, from that, in order for me to accomplish that, I know I need to know His will. He created me. Not only did He create me now, but now He has saved me and redeemed me. I am His servant. My life is not my own. I have been bought with a tremendous price. So I need to know, Lord, what is it You'd have for my life? Now, this isn't going to get into knowing the will of God. That's a separate message. But as far as the what of the will of God, that's all right here. It's not the where of the will of God, but the what of the will of God is all right here. But I have to not only know it, but I need to have that the wisdom and understanding. All right? For instance, when I got to New Guinea, I knew the will of God was New Guinea, but you know what I lacked at that to begin with? I lacked some wisdom and some understanding. The Lord will work on that, though, to bring that about in my life. The results being that when you do that, number one, He said that you would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Is that not where you want to be in life? Here's our problem. Listen to me. This is where we get up. This is so true. I don't care who you are in life. This is true of just about every single person and maybe every single person. If there's exceptions, they're very few. We all are trying to walk, live our life in a way that is pleasing unto someone. Whether that is your dad, your mom, your spouse, your children, your friends, a coworker, we're all trying to walk in such a way that we have the recognition or respect or acknowledgement of someone. For us, what that needs to be is God. And by the way, so he's saying, when you get to the place, when you know my will, with wisdom and understanding, you have arrived at a place where you have the capability to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That's the goal. That my life can be lived in such a way. And by the way, it's not perfection that he's dealing with. Along the way, you're going to have to deal with your own sin at times. You're going to have to be able to set that aside. Say, I got to press on. And you know what's great when those times happen? God's grace is right there. It's right there. And so it helps us to be in a place when we have an understanding of God's will with wisdom that you can now walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And where you begin to recognize this changes is where you begin to see it in your life. And it's how would I say this? Our responsibility, as James puts it, is our submission to God to bring us to this place. All right? It's within here when God then begins to direct us according to His will, He doesn't try to hide it from us. All right? He doesn't. If we will just stay genuinely yielded with before the Lord, just where He knows what you really desire is God. He'll take care of the other parts of that. All right? So what I'm saying is this. Where you begin to notice it then in your life is you're no longer living for pride, your own name. You can see multitudes today. That's really, I don't care if it's in service or God or in their career. You can genuinely see they make it about their name. And is that not how we're taught in Western culture? But as you gain not just knowledge of what God would have you to do, listen, not just knowledge of His will. You might have that, but you better have it with wisdom and understanding. There's multitudes of Christians who have knowledge of God's will, but they never apply wisdom and understanding. Therefore, they get to the place where they're still walking, maybe for pride, maybe for their name. Really, any avenue the lust of the flesh can produce. When in truth, when this takes place, your life becomes about God. You're walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. This is where I recognize, where I relate this verse to. Hopefully hearing those words when death finds me. Well done. Well done.
done.
So this is the results now of knowing the will of God with wisdom and understanding. You walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Notice what else it says here. He goes on. This is just incredible. Being fruitful in every good work. Isn't it frustrating when you're actually doing a job and you get nowhere with it? Paul smiled. Maybe he's probably thought of different appliances he could just get nowhere with. Employees, yes. Relationships, yes, thank you. Relationships are always challenging and difficult because we're dealing with sinners. But there are times that you'll be working on a project. Like last year, I started when I was going to finish it. Last year, I'm not even close. I was going to put in this... It's just ridiculous, but I will finish it this year. It will get done. So to help myself stay in shape, because I'm getting old and everything like that, I'm going to put my own brick sidewalk in. I haven't done anything like that in my life. So last spring, every evening, I would take like half an hour to 45 minutes or longer and just watch YouTube clips of people who knew what they were doing, putting this kind of pavers down for a walkway. And so I go to start it. Little did I know where my house sits. It's all rock. So those guys, when they were shoveling, it was just tink, 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 tink. Every time my shovel went in, tink, tink. It's getting so fresh. Remember, I sent pictures on the family text. Rocks like this. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This wasn't on YouTube. And for a while, I thought, I am getting nowhere with this. Now, I did finish by August. It is all dug up. And ready for the pavers. It's ready for it. So we'll see how that goes this year when I actually get to the skilled part of this and not just the shoveling of it. But the point is, for a while there, it just seemed I was just spinning my wheels with a lot of work with nothing to it. Listen, that can happen in ministry, everything, where all of a sudden you're not fruitful in the work you're trying to accomplish. Okay? Now, don't get me wrong, there are times, this is not a blanket statement, there are times when you simply have to trust in the Lord, there are times in dry seasons, Noah, for instance, this isn't simply talking about converts to souls, but to use Noah as an example, the guy had never seen a convert, yet he was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years and he stayed faithful at it. He was right in the middle of the will of God. But nonetheless, that guy had incredibly fruitful work, did he not? The ark, it got built. It got built. But I know this. If we're going to make a difference in Anchorage, South Central Alaska, our state, the nation, we will never be what we should be unless we are fruitful in every good work. That takes God's blessing. That's what it's saying here. When you're yielded to Him, you have knowledge of His will. With wisdom and understanding, you know what that happens when you're in God's will? You then will follow with wisdom and understanding what He directs you to do. Guess what that produces? Fruit. It works, in other words. It works. You have multitudes of people in God's will, but there's another motivation behind it, so they will not have at that point God's wisdom or His understanding. Therefore, it struggles. And you see this with different churches. Some churches, which is sad, then they'll plug in the carnal measures to try and make up for the obvious lack of fruit. They'll go to something else to try and manufacture that. Just dangerous, dangerous stuff. But we want to be fruitful in every good work. Then he gives this out here. He says this. Here's another benefit of it. Of knowing God's will with wisdom and understanding, will walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and look at this one, increasing in the knowledge of God. So, now we have His Word, which does give us things what we need to know about God. It's the basis, the foundation, going nowhere without it. But He's tying this in right now. With as we follow the Lord in His will, with wisdom and understanding and applying it, that as we're going about it, an increase in the knowledge of God. And I can think of that true in my life. Going back 12 years in New Guinea, I learned a whole lot about God. A whole lot. And so this is something that's going to help us to increase in the knowledge of God. It's almost like God puts you in positions in His will with the truth of who God is out of His Word, that you begin to, never fully, I don't know that that'll ever happen, but that you begin to see God almost from a paradigm shift occurs, from a new perspective or a new concept, or that you read a truth, but then you see it played out in your life, that God directs according to His will, just for the sole purpose that you will increase in your knowledge of Him. Just so you'll know Him better. I think it's here when you begin to increase in your knowledge of God. There's only one direction that'll take you every single time. It will help you increase as you begin to understand the greatness of God. As you increase in your knowledge of Him, just think about that. Isn't that mind-boggling? No matter how much, like if you get to learn more and more of me, you're going to be disappointed. But you get to learn more and more of God, that'll never happen. Never. You'll just be just impressed more and more and more and more of His greatness. And He's saying, you're going to get to know me better when you know my will with wisdom, with understanding. One of the blessings, one of the fruits of that is going to be increasing in the knowledge of God. And that is certainly, again, what life is about. You begin to learn Him. And we see this really played out in different places in Scripture. Think of Moses in the desert for 40 years. 40 years before, you know, he's what, 80-some years old there when the Lord calls him to be the deliverer of the bondage that has occurred in Egypt to the nation of Israel. And 40 years in that desert of him learning of God to the time when God's will is revealed just really is incredible to think about. Our entire life is really spent learning more and more and more of God. Growing closer to Him, gaining in that knowledge. Each day trying to learn something new of the Lord. And I'm telling you, He does combine or just demonstrate what we learn of His truth through His will in our life as we follow Him. You know how it is. It's different when, let's see, let's take a profession here. Electrician was brought up. Do we have any electricians in here right now? I don't even know. No electricians. We need to pray some electricians in the church. But you take an electrician. They can. Well, actually, Jakin's here. Jakin. Oh, he's not here. He's probably with his wife right now. But you can take an electrician who, when they first start taking the courses, they're studying it. They're studying it and studying it and studying it. All right. They finish their classroom activity. Give them the license and send them to a house. Is he going to be effective? Of course not. It's going to be a disaster. He's going to get electrocuted a few times. Everything else. Note, he's going to learn more about his craft, using the knowledge and then experiencing it. It's true with God as you learn more about Him. As you learn the basis of the truth of who God is and you apply it in your life, it's just a different level with that knowledge of God. And again, that should be what it's about. And then you learn more, it'll also help you to appreciate key attributes of God. I believe this. Boy, as you draw closer, you're going to appreciate so much more His mercy in your life, His grace in your life, the strength He provides. All those different things come into play. Now, let's jump down to verse 11 now. It's sort of a bit, I'm going to change gears with this here a little bit, because if you'll notice, these are things that are really needed now to finish the will of God. Where he goes with this verse. All right, look at this. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Those are key things needed to finish God's will right there. We see the fruit of it right there. Walk worthy of the Lord. We're going to increase in the knowledge of God, as he said right there, being fruitful in every good work. But with this, God promises the strength to do it because he knows we can't do it in our own strength. There's just no way. It's just, you know, I think of two major times in my life. The summer of 2015, coming here, and then the November of 2003 when I arrived in New Guinea. Both times, completely thinking, I am drowning. This is not something I can do. And it's right. When it comes to God's will, it's something that will always, always, always take His strength. But the Lord provides it. And the truth is, we know that for us to really make a difference right here in Anchorage as the Lord would have us, that's not going to be based on our own strength. No, it's, if we turn to that wisdom, I'm not being mean, it's just the truth. If we turn to our wisdom to try and attempt that, we're going to do like everybody else. We're going to set up a rock band in here. We're going to become, I don't know, we've already got Mountain City, Mountain Village Baptist Church. I don't know what we'll become. But something else, what we want to make the difference is simply the strength of the Lord. And by the way, just like we've been seeing it, we had last week when Elijah got baptized. He's up on the slope. That's why he's only here all those other ways. You trust Christ, trusted Christ in my office, gets baptized, seeing his life change, his family. You saw that last week, his family on the back pew when he got baptized last week. To even today, of course, with Shaq and his sister. Now, she was here. She's still here, right? I thought I saw her. Where's she at? Oh, she's over there. She is right there. And seeing that from the bus ministry. Look, you're 8 years old. Is that right? That's the 8 years old. Man, look at that life that's been saved. Not just spiritually. I was thinking about today when she came to give her testimony. I mean, the thought hit me. There's going to be a pastor's wife right there. Right there. Then having to bail her brother out of jail. No doubt about it. No. Shaq, her brother, will be pastoring one day is how I picture that. And I do. I can't wait to see you ahead off. We're going to get you in a good, strong Bible college. All right? And where you're giving your life to the Lord for ministry. It's all about Him. It is. And just to see it making the difference. You know what does that? That takes the strength of God. It's not by our schemes that takes place. We need God's strength for it. And then he mentions something else that we all need for the will of God. Patience. Patience. The ability to wait on the Lord and do things in His timing. How often do people quit not willing to wait on God? They quit. Again, the focus is off. Remember, by the way, it's never, ever. This will help you with that so you don't quit, so you can maintain patience. Remember this principle. With God, it's never about the task. It's always about Him. Because, especially for men, we can be so goal-oriented. And it is how we're designed that we can get out of whack with that. We can so focus on the task that when we're in a time that will require patience, because God knows the timing, He's sovereign, He's in control, but we end up quitting. The goal isn't the task. It is your relationship with God. If you allow your mind, that drive that God gives us for a task to accomplish it, to allow that to maintain your relationship with God, that'll help you stay on course. But we do need patience. And in our day, we are a culture that wants instant success. Instant. But when it comes to the work of the Lord, that's why he puts it here, it always requires patience. Talking with Levi, who's obviously leaning towards Norway right now. And so all their discussions about, he'll be going back there again this summer. And much of those focus on Levi, you have to understand this, going there, you're likely to see like one saved a year. This isn't going to be what you saw in New Guinea. This is going to require great patience. Or, if not, if you're too focused on that result of a task, you're going to quit. And then lastly, he finishes with this. Isn't this good how the Lord, he knows us so well. Look at this. Long-suffering with joyfulness. It's almost like an oxymoron right there, isn't it? Long-suffering. Look at the condition that's on it. That's so important that we miss. You know, I can go to Daniel all day. Daniel, I am so tired of this. He's not one of our. I'm so tired of this church. I am just long suffering. These people are miserable. Have you seen Shaq? I mean, I can't believe this guy. He's just ridiculous. Got to get out of here. But I can be long suffering with it, but it needs to have the joy with it. Why do you think that is? It's twofold right there. The joy of the Lord is our strength, okay? And joy and long suffering, it is the only thing that will demonstrate your faith, that you know God's in control. Because whatever it is you're going through, it's requiring long suffering. But when the joy is present in it, it does show your focus is on God, your trust is in Him, He's in control. Long suffering with joy. You won't accomplish the will of God without it. You won't. You need His strength to do it. You're going to need patience to accomplish it. And you're going to need long suffering with joy. With joy. With heads bowed and eyes closed.